American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I'm joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. Before we get into things, I want to remind you all to follow both Joe and myself on Twitter at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_. Go ahead if you haven't already and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars on whatever platform you get your podcast from. We got a fun show today. Going to get into a handful of topics. We're going to discuss the Alabama football series, Tides That Bind. Talk about what they've revealed in the first two episodes a little bit. Talk about the NFL Combine just a touch. We did get into it on Joe's show, so we won't spend too much time there. I do want to talk about Kalen DeBoer's comments on revenue sharing and what it means for the Crimson Tide and whether or not he maybe should have kept his mouth shut on this topic. And then finally, want to send you out with a brief 2026 recruiting update. Alabama saw a little bit of success this week on the recruiting trail, landing in the top 10 for some, or landing in the final schools for some top prospects and also scheduling some visits with some other guys. And then I also do want to do a brief moment on Alabama baseball and softball, as they're both going to be playing today as well. Before we get into any of those things, I do got to ask, Joe, doing all right today?
Oh, doing great, Mason. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me. And looking forward to a big weekend around the capstone.
Yeah, got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I want to start with this Tides That Bind series because, you know, as me and you have both discussed at length, we will not be watching it until its conclusion when we can watch it all under the guise of a free trial so we don't have to pay for it. And I would advise any of you to do the same thing. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, the method which they've gone about this. This should have been something that happened on, like, Yay Alabama that was, you know, specific to the university, but whatever, I digress. In the first two episodes, it seems like some interesting things have been revealed, and just a little bit I've been able to gather. The second episode that just recently aired, I think just this week, on like Wednesday, I think is when they're airing. Second episode featured Wilkin Formby and Caden Proctor heavily and kind of told the story following Alabama's performance against USF this year. And I just, you know, this made me just sad for Wilkin Formby because, like, you know, this is a direct quote. You know, Alabama was able to win that game. Terrible performance for Alabama. You had a big fourth quarter to make it look like it was better than it was. But it was an ugly game all around for just about everyone on the team. And Formby comes on the show and he talks about the just countless amounts of, you know, hate messages, whatever he received, people, you know, talking about kill Wilkin Formby, all this bad stuff, like just ridiculous. The direct quote from the series was Wilkin Formby saying, "I went on social media. The first thing that popped up was, quote, kill Wilkin Formby. It's a lot of hate that they're spreading. It didn't really get to me that bad. I just hate that my family had to see all that stuff. My little sister is going to school and people are asking her about it. That was the part that made me extremely frustrated." And, I mean, I agree with him. I don't know, man. Like, they're kids at the end of the day. This is a prime example why I think it's so important, especially with college athletes, to just remember that, like, they are humans under the pads, under the helmet. People say a lot of things on the internet without any sort of repercussions. And, you know, this just gives you a bit of an insight as to your words have some meaning. They hurt these folks. They are humans just like you and I. It's really sad to me to see that.
Well, I mean, I know Seth McLaughlin had issues with the snap, but how much of him transferring to Ohio State was him just getting a fresh start, getting away from Alabama and the Alabama fan base that was telling him, "Oh, you're terrible! Oh, you're the worst! You know, kill yourself!"
That's just ridiculous.
Football's great, and these sports are fun. It's great to be, but goodness gracious, they're real people.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. It's messy.
I listened to Pardon My Take is one of the podcasts that I consume outside of this one, and one of the guys, the host on that, Barstool Big Cat, he's always, you know, they're big bettors at Barstool, and this one of the kind of running gags they have is anytime he places a big major bet, and then, you know, some player makes one boneheaded mistake that causes the bet to lose, he'll always tweet out like, "They're just kids. They're just kids. They're just kids." But, like, that is true. They are just kids. These are 18 to 22-year-old, maybe 23, you know. At the end of the day, like, they do not need to be hearing from Jimmy Jones from Red Bay, Alabama, that, oh, you need to kill yourself because you messed up a snap. It's just, like, take a step back, people. This is a game. Players have off days. Players have bad performances. They have great performances. So, don't go out of your way to pile on when a player is having a bad performance, because it does not get them anywhere. It doesn't help them at all, if anything. Like in Seth McLaughlin's case, it pushed him out and it forced him to transfer potentially. So I just wanted to get that out, mention that. I think it's sad that he has to deal with that. I think he is going to be a good player this year. That kind of leads me into the next point. I did want to ask, like, what, you know, his chances this year. I think he's probably going to be the starter. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he has a really good shot to be the starter.
Don't sleep on Arkell Enugwum, but I think it's Wilkins' job to lose.
I also just think that, you know, to your point, like, these, they're just kids, and when you jump on them this way, you hinder their growth, and so, you know, Wilkin might become an All-American. But what happens if little Billy reads a comment and it sends him into the tank?
Sure.
Right? I think that we forget that, of course, we want great results and great outcomes, but I think we forget how much influence that we actually have. Or maybe we don't, and people just wield it in a terrible way.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, as with everything, the answer is somewhere in the middle. You have folks who are being, you know, saying these kinds of things truly just to be evil people and say horrible things to these folks. And then you do have the crowd where it's, you know, just overreactions and things where people might be just not thinking before they post. But regardless, just if you're ever, you know, if your team is losing a game and you're considering going out on the Twitter machine and firing something off and tagging someone in it, maybe just take a step back, count to 10, get you a couple deep breaths, and then you'll probably realize this is not a good idea because, you know, the internet, we know, is all anonymous for everyone, especially on Twitter and things, but if you were faced with the things that you said online by, you know, by this man in real life, what would you do? I don't think that you would have the same attitude, probably. But yeah, again, ridiculous that he had to do that. Sad that he had, you know, it was such a major point of that episode. Cool, I guess, that he is, you know, at least so he says, not letting it get to him as much. That's commendable, but that's ridiculous that he has to go through it at all. I do want to go to, I mentioned, they mentioned Caden Proctor as well in that episode, and this is the next most interesting thing to me. Got the chance to talk about his transfer, I don't even know what you'd call it, debacle, I guess, where he, you know, enters the transfer portal, what was it, January, right after Nick Saban's announcement. And pretty quickly, he's, you know, he enter with the no contact tag, and then he's at Iowa within the next couple days, and it's like, okay, going back home, you know, makes sense, whatever, whatever. And then here we are in late March, April, whatever it was, and he's back.
He said they never heard the word national champions.
Never
or something.
Heard the word national championships. I've got the full quote here. Okay, he said something wasn't right. Here's the full quote. Coach Saban left. I just started thinking, who's going to be our new coach? What am I going to do? I came here to play for Coach Saban, you know what I mean? So I went back to Iowa, but then a month and a half into being there, it just didn't feel right. I didn't have any close relationships with anyone. I couldn't relate to any of them. I never heard the word national championship come out of their mouth. I knew it wasn't the place for me. 3 months later, I left. I apologized to Coach DeBoer, and he accepted me back. This is like the perfect example of why the transfer portal should not be so easily accessible for everyone, I think. He made a rash decision that he did not fully think about and said, oh, I got to get out of here. I got to figure something out. And very quickly realized this was a terrible decision. I mean, I think he even said it. I don't know if it was on this episode, but I think it was a while back someone had asked him, and he said it was like one of the worst decisions he'd ever made was going back to Iowa or something. So, you know, kind of in the same vein of just like, before you make a wild decision, let's take a step back and think a little bit. But I thought that was so funny that, you know, there's no mention of a national championship anywhere at Iowa. Why would there be? But,
Well, he...
You knew this, right? In high school, Caden Brocker, you were recruited by them.
Did they tell you were going to win a title when you were 16?
Like, I don't know. Caden is it's an interesting case with Caden in the media because, you know, when he was at Iowa, the month and change, he talked about all the Iowa coaches. They were always encouraging me. I don't know. I'm with you on the portal needs to be curbed. The portal is the main reason why you're seeing these coaches do these spring game stuff. And speaking of spring game, we just got an email. We just got an email from Alabama football.
Breaking news?
Yeah. Okay. So the Alabama's annual football game is scheduled at 8 a.m., 12 o'clock at Bryant-Denny Stadium, yada, yada, yada. 8 a.m. is the final workout of spring practice. It will be free to all fans. There will be no live broadcast of the event.
Oh, I like that.
April 12th is packed with Alabama Athletics. The day will begin with Crimson Tide, with the Tracks Crimson Tide Invitational. Okay. So Track and Field is hosting an event that day. Next on the schedule, baseball matchup with Mississippi State at 12. That is at 2 o'clock. That's after the scrimmage. And then softball at 2:30. So it's going to be a big day. There's no comment on if it's going to be an altered game.
Okay.
But it says noon on the 12th for free, Bryant-Denny Stadium. Be there, be square. Track and field at 8 a.m., baseball at 2, softball at 2:30 after. So go watch your boys scrimmage and then go watch either baseball or softball.
Yeah, go watch something happen with this football team. We're unsure what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Strange. Yeah, interesting.
This email doesn't say a whole lot to me.
No, this email didn't really provide any information we didn't already know.
But the portal.
Yeah, back to that, because that kind of leads me into something I did want to talk about. You know, this Kalen DeBoer, these revenue-sharing comments, he did also talk about the transfer portal in this story. So it's a story from our friend Pete Nakos at On3, and we'll start with the transfer portal section of it just because that kind of is our segue here. This was exactly what Kalen DeBoer said to On3 about the transfer portal, quote, "I don't feel like you need to have as many available days. Guys know if they're looking to move on and find another opportunity. I don't think it takes 30 days to try to figure that out. Less days, and everyone can do what they need to do, and we can know our roster and make the adjustments necessary. The players and student athletes who need to do their part and find a place to go, they got that. They have that time too." I totally agree with this.
Yes,
30 days is a preposterous amount of time to give these kids to make this decision. Like, what, a week? I think a week seems perfectly fair. Coaching change happens, you get maybe two weeks.
That is...
to make your decision.
If you're going in the spring portal, you've probably been thinking about it.
For a while.
Right. And so you're probably going into it first day.
Sure. I don't think there's many people who are going into the spring portal and then deciding, oh, wait, I need to transfer now.
Yeah, I mean, at least for our sake, condensing the time would be very beneficial.
I think it would also cut down on like bidding wars and tampering potentially if you have less time to do it.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm sick of that aspect of it, of just so and so is offering however much money for this guy, but then the other team can offer this much. But then, oh wait, Michigan can offer this much. I really have begun to become a bit disenfranchised with college football, that aspect of it.
Easy to do. I wish they'd alter the portal altogether, mm-hmm, to make it just one window.
Yeah,
and if it's 30 days for the one window,
sure,
okay,
that's okay. But we don't need the two.
Would you rather have the one window before spring practice or after spring practice? Because you got Jed Fish, the Washington coach, saying we need to adopt the NFL's calendar, saying the NFL does their free agency and all that jazz after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We need to do the same
thing. I think I like that. Because, you know, kind of like Kalen DeBoer was saying here, like, you know what you have going into the spring. You're not worried about, okay, we've got these guys, but then who knows? Half the team could be gone in 6 weeks. So I think I like that. I would probably I would push for that.
Yeah, if you view spring practice kind of like NFL OTAs, mm-hmm. so we take from the day after the national title game for 30 days, so that puts you, what, January 17, 16, 15, yeah. in that range to middle of February mm-hmm. to figure out. And, you know, if Billy's going to the portal, he's just going to have to work with academic advisor at his new school to catch up these sure. 6 weeks, catch up these 5 weeks.
They'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out.
I promise you.
that or you or little Billy, we're just enrolling you in three classes over the summer to catch you right back up.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that you know, we've talked about the transfer portal and things and changing it and how, like, yes, this the academic aspect,
because that's the excuse.
But like, me and you both have been students. They make things work. They will make it work. However it needs to be done, they'll make it work. They will get you your hours. Be positive of that. They're going to get that money.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Right, and, you know, how... I just think that the academic excuse is...
it's just very lame. Is we know it's not real.
Right, it's flimsy because... It's flimsy because so much gets you... Oh, Billy, you can... You know, make up the work, which is fine. I think it'd be better if they had the one window after the national championship game, before spring practice, then you run spring practice however you want to, coach, and we're off and running.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That seems like a much better way of doing things. Do you want to talk? And let's see. The revenue share. Yeah, that was the next thing I had here. The revenue sharing comments. That was the first part of this article from On3. And DeBoer talking about revenue sharing, which is, I think it's starting this year, right? $20.5 million football team is getting, I think, 15 is what I read.
Yeah.
So that is kicking off this year. So Kalen DeBoer said on revenue sharing, the regulation is really important to the game itself. The regulation where we're all on an even playing field from the revenue sharing standpoint helps us, just because now it comes down to what's important in recruiting, and that's relationships and sharing your vision. People that want to be aligned with your vision and then come to a place like Alabama that has the resources and tradition. The regulation and having a more balanced playing field helps our situation. It allows us to get where it was at one point just a few years back, where recruiting is real recruiting, not just someone who's going to put in the highest bid. You should have kept your mouth shut, Kalen DeBoer. This is not getting back to an even playing field. This is getting back to where we have an advantage over everyone because we have better facilities. We have more coaches we can send on the road. We have more money to send coaches on the road. We have better things to offer players, better food, better nutrition, everything like that. This, you're angry because everyone else evened the playing field by being able to say, we may not have those things, but we can give you a big fat paycheck. And now you have that option. I understand what he's saying here. He's trying to kind of I think he just should have been quiet, though, because it is not an even playing field. Never has been, never will be.
That, but it's... what really changed? Because you're doing the revenue sharing. Here's what I don't understand. You're doing the revenue sharing, and so it's coming from the university, and these players are getting paid basically out of the cut from the university. But you can also still use NIL, is how I understand. Maybe I don't understand it correctly.
That's how I understand it as well.
And so, yes, every school is paying, and there's somewhat of a salary cap per se. But if I'm Billy Rich Boy Donor, and I just want to pay an extra, oh, here's a bonus for 5-star.
Yeah.
I think you still can do that. Maybe I don't understand that correctly.
Okay. So, I mean, with this revenue sharing, I'm just reading, schools can share up to 22% of their revenue from ticket sales, media rights, and sponsorship with athletes.
Great.
That's a flat 22%. That money is capped at $20.5 million, though.
Okay.
So, however many schools there are that can't get to that 20.5, you're SOL.
Right.
Sorry, buddy. It's just, I don't know. And then also on top of that, yes, Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, Michigan, the teams that will be at this $20.5 million limit can also say, hey, here's our collective. They'll link you up with, you know, Jimmy Jones Ford down the road that'll get you a nice Mustang that you can drive around campus. I don't get it. This is not about an even playing field whatsoever.
Maybe I'm missing something.
Maybe. And, you know, I tried to read through that thing yesterday, this with Kalen DeBoer from On3, and it just did not make sense to me why he would come out with this kind of attitude about it. Because the most prominent, and, you know, I've already said this, but the most prominent schools in the country, like, they have these pretty baseline, all the same stuff. You know, your Oregon's, Ohio State's, Georgia's, Bama's, they've all got the same S-tier facilities, the best nutritional plan you can have, the best weight room, the best team doctors, whatever. So, like, you're not picking those teams based on those kinds of things. You are picking, if you're between those teams, based on, okay, who's going to give me the best opportunity, who's going to give me the best NIL money. But if you're a player who is, you know, getting recruited by, like, South Carolina or Alabama, and South Carolina says, well, we can give you 6 figures, and Alabama says, well, I can give you 10 grand. You're going to pick, you know, South Carolina's. And that's not like a thing anymore now with this revenue sharing. It's just very, I don't know. It's not even. The big boys still have all the advantages here, just like they always have. If anything, like, you know, like we saw this season with how much parity there was in college football, some of the smaller teams were able to, you know, Vanderbilt beat Alabama. Like, they were able to make these things happen a little bit because of the playing field being even somewhat due to there just being no kind of no railing or anything on NIL, so they could just throw money at people where other schools weren't quite willing to do that. That is gone.
Yeah, I think that really we've just sort of lost the narrative with what's going on in college sports. And, you know, Coach DeBoer, he's playing the same Coach Saban line. We got to, you know, make the playing field even. But like we, as you said in your opening to this topic, it has never really been even. Coach Bryant was offering 100 scholarships, and the boosters were always, you know, enhancing the weight room, enhancing the dining hall.
That's the thing is, like, people talk, you know, you see all of it online about Bama's been paying players for years, and it's like, there's no proof of any of that. So, like,
right.
Possibly, sure, maybe. But it's not even about that. It's about that Alabama has the opportunity to build a Mal Moore Athletic Facility, to build a Bryant-Denny Stadium,
to
build,
use the private,
you know,
plane.
Joe Tool Thomas Stadium, you know. Yes, to use that kind of money to upgrade all of these things that, you know, maybe you're not going to see in big stacks of cash, but you see in giant, modern, you know, beautiful buildings.
Yeah, like, Bryant Hall is a nice place to live for a freshman.
Yeah.
You look at the rest of the freshmen on campus, and I guess some of the newer dorms on the north side of campus are really nice. But
Bryant one's the only one you get a full-size bed in, I'm pretty sure. Everywhere else you get a twin.
Okay. What else do you need right there?
I mean, that's pretty sweet right there. So they, you know, these athletes, like, or these schools are that's how they get the advantage. It's not just that, like, Alabama has been secretly paying everybody under the table for years, which maybe they have.
You but hear
if
the
they have,
Dodge
everyone
Charger.
Else has. Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
It's about the facilities and the things that they can offer outside of the actual, you know, football field, all of these auxiliary things that a South Carolina, that a, you know, whoever, a Mississippi State cannot offer.
Like Clemson putting the waterfall in their facility. Putting the slide in their facility.
Yeah. I mean, Bama, they got those, you know, the big tubs, the hot tub and the cold tub right beside, you know, you see them in the video. It's just crazy. Not, you know, not everyone has the opportunity to do that. But hey, now we get to all split this money, and, you know, we'll go back to the days of yesteryear where it was you had your eight schools or whatever that competed.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not
it's
a, fan
it's
of this.
Really unfortunate because what's going to end up happening is it's going to end up costing sports, in my opinion.
Mm, sad. Oh man, man, oh man, oh man. Let's get off of that, off of the doom and gloom a little bit. I do want to talk about the NFL Combine very briefly. You know, like I said, we mentioned it on your show. We talked about Jahad Campbell absolutely dominating the day. Linebackers and defensive linemen yesterday taking part in drills, running their 40s, doing their bench press, whatever it is, doing their three-cone shuttles. Jahad Campbell made himself a lot of money, I think. You know, the first round, I don't think he... Saying that, you might, you know, it kind of leads to, like, oh, did he jump from a second to a top 10? Like, no, he probably went from being like a solidified 17 to 19, 20 kind of pick to now he's probably a 12 to 15 pick. But that, you know, 6, 7, 8 spots, that's a lot of money right there. And Jahad Campbell was absolutely sensational yesterday. He, you know, runs a 4.52 40-yard dash, third fast among linebackers, a third fastest 10-yard split. It was 1.53, I think I saw. Second longest broad jump of the day, 10 foot 7 inches. NFL Next Gen Stats had him ranked as the number 2 linebacker in the class based on combine results when combined with other players of his similar size and play style and things. As far as, you know, fits go, Jahad Campbell, I still, you know, I don't know if he'll necessarily be there. I like him to the Bucks, maybe Miami I saw, maybe the Falcons. He's got, I think, countless options at this point after a day like Thursday.
I think that he can be taken anywhere between that 10 and 20 range. Yeah. And I really think that Jahad Campbell, people will look back in 3 years and 5 years and think, why didn't we take him higher? Because whoever drafts him will use him on the inside and on the edge.
As for Tim Smith, he did not participate in any drills or anything. So not really much to glean from that. I don't even know that I saw about any of his, like, team meetings or anything, so I don't really know. You know, I don't think he's going to be a day one pick. Tim Smith's probably going to find himself in that day two, day three range. So we will see kind of where he winds up. Before we get out of here, I do want to mention, like I said, we'll talk about Alabama baseball. They are playing, who do they take on today? North Dakota State at 4 p.m. Central at the Joe. Can watch it on your TV on SEC Network Plus. Come on. I hate when they do that.
Well, there's not enough channels.
This is Premier Television. This is appointment TV. This should be
Alabama baseball?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is appointment North Dakota State. This is appointment TV.
Okay. All right.
Hey, they just 20-11 against Jacksonville State. Tell them you don't want to watch this team.
Oh, I do want to watch the team, but what's SEC Network putting on it this afternoon?
Nothing.
Paul
as good
Feinbaum
as this.
Show.
Yeah,
we can't bump Paul off for baseball.
So we got baseball taking on North Dakota State today for
not enough channels.
Softball.
Paul's got to be on spewing his nonsense.
Alabama softball also playing at 4 p.m. today, taking on UAB. That one is also at home, going to be in the Rhodes House. There, we will see what Alabama does. Coming off a big win against Virginia Tech and two more big. Golly, they beat Drake. 30-2 over 10 innings.
Watch out now.
That's Drake, I understand, but then you run roll Virginia Tech as well in, you know, 5 innings. So pretty impressive stretch for this softball team. I think bounce back after a couple tough losses. last thing I want to mention, a little bit of recruiting update, and we'll bring it, you know, we'll keep it relatively quick to go on and get out of here. But this week, Alabama lands a commitment from four-star edge rusher Jamarian Matthews. I think he was ranked. I believe he was a top 10 edge rusher in this class. Picked Alabama over a handful of very, very prominent schools. I think Georgia, Michigan, and I want to say, I don't remember what the third one was. But either way, Alabama lands their third commit of the 2026 class. I think he's going to be a very talented player. Still a lot of time left, so we will see, you know, whether or not this commitment sticks. But they made some good moves. They also, five-star wide receiver Sadarian Matthews, who this guy talk about, like, I think he's probably the best receiver in next year's class. Names Alabama in his final, I think, eight schools. We'll see. You know, still, like I said, a lot of time left. But this guy, he's like 6'2", 205 pounds. You know, just a very, very good, like, prototype wide receiver. He has, you know, extremely strong hands. He's very good at high-pointing the ball, going to catch contested catches. If Alabama can land him, he will be very, very good in crimson and white. Four-star cornerback Albert Hill is also coming to visit this March. Alabama also landed in the top 10 for two more four-star players, linebacker Nick Abrams II, and four-star edge rusher Trenton Henderson, both of which I think are, you know, premier talents in next year's class. Alabama, I believe Henderson is actually set to come visit this summer as well in May. So we will see what Alabama does on the recruiting trail, potentially setting themselves up for a very big summertime period. You know, obviously they got off to a bit of a slow start with Zion Gibson being the only commitment, you know, and that not coming until December of this year. And then, you know, now this last week they've picked up two more. So we will see how that goes. But that's all I've really got for today. I don't know that I have anything else for you, Joe.
I have one thing for you. Since we talked about the combine and we haven't talked about this,
mm-hmm.
1 hour ago, Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe says he will throw during Saturday's workouts at the combine, but is undecided on running the 40-yard dash. How does that make any sense? Go ahead. It's your show, but I'm asking you, no, how does that make any sense?
That doesn't make any sense. It makes zero. It makes negative sense. Jalen, your number one trait that you have is your incredible straight line speed.
Go show them how fast you are,
Go
please.
Go show them how fast you are.
Make someone fall in love with it.
Yeah, because, like, I know that he's going to, if he does not run that 40, he's going to run it at his pro day, and it's going to be, he runs a 4.18. It's going to be, yeah, it's not laser time, so no one's going to buy it. Run it where they have the lasers that tell everybody exactly, unless you don't think you're that fast. I don't know. We all saw it, though. We've seen it on tape. Like, you are that fast. You have outrun cornerbacks. You have outrun safeties, you know, whoever it is. I don't understand that at all. Why would you go display potentially the weakest part of your game and then not show the strongest point of your game? Whoever is in his camp telling him these things needs to reevaluate their advice, because yeah, that is just asking to have him not get drafted if that's what you're going to do. A team will fall in love with his speed if he shows it.
How do you spell accentuate? That's what I'm typing. Jalen Milroe needs to accentuate his strengths and hide his weaknesses. Yes.
You know, when he gets to his pro day, it needs to be, get him one deep ball that he's got dialed up that he can hit consistently, and then everything else, make him short, quick throws. Let him run around a little bit. I don't know. That's bad advice. Jalen, you've gotten some bad advice. I know you're listening. Please, 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 please do not follow through with that plan. Run your 40 at the combine. Take part in some of those agility drills and maybe consider not throwing.
Unfortunate. I don't agree with that decision, but I am not in your camp and I'm not reliant on your future paychecks.
Sure. Oh, well, that's everything for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Remind you all to follow both me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_JoeGaither6. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama podcast. Thank you again for listening.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.